Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money
at Menards. The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains, or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back to part two. We missed you. This is part two for, God, what's the name of this one? Everything I try to do, everything is bad.
I think
everything
it's
I try to do, nothing seems to turn out right. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's a, like, might be the longest episode title to date, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is part two. Welcome back. We've just had a bit of a break, and now we're back on our bullshit.
It's true. Even on our breaks, we're on our bullshit.
That's real. Okay, well, I think we could start this episode with everyone's favorite segment. Living in China Land.
Living in China Land on our bullshit.
We have two people.
This is an absolute easy one. It's Fart Girl.
No.
Oh.
But I have to tell you a story about Fart Girl.
Okay.
Whenst I was looking up Shondaland.
Mm-hmm. Whenst.
I went to Fart Girl's page, and her name is, where'd it go? Emily Davenport. Okay.
Okay.
Emily Davenport, whilst not in any other Shondaland media, this is only going to apply to Carmen. No one else is going to care about this, was in a small independent film titled The Curse of Downers Grove.
Yo, wait, I know about that movie.
She was in that movie.
Shut up.
Yeah, she was like just one of the other kids at the school. And so I saw it and I was like, no way. So I click on it. Let me read the synopsis for everybody. Chrissy's last week of high school in Downers Grove, Illinois, is a paranoid trip through a small Midwestern town gripped by a curse that claims the life of one high school senior every year. With only 5 days to graduation, Chrissy Swanson is beginning to wonder if she will be the next victim of the curse of Downers Grove. So I thought that was funny.
What's crazy about that is there really was, like, that was like a whole thing.
I was going to ask if you knew about this, if this was like a real thing of like the curse of Downers Grove.
Yeah. And I know of... There was a couple of kids that had died. I'm fairly certain. Have you ever heard of the band Lucky Boys Confusion? I think I've talked about them before. They're like a 2000s pop punk band out of the area. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe not even 2000s, like 2000. 2000s, because they were before me even. But one of the musicians in that band had died. He was from Downers Grove. And I think he was one of the guys in the curse. Mm-hmm. But I think I also had mentioned this previously as well. There's a girl who I think was either in high school while I was there, or like she was like two or three years younger than me. But she had gone missing post high school. Mm. And there actually is a podcast out there that talks about her, because there was like this mysterious phone ping in the middle of a lake, like weeks after she went missing, and they like canvassed the lake, they dredged the lake, they couldn't find her. And years later, she was found like outside of like a house on the side of a road, but
alive?
They, no, dead.
Oh, okay.
But they, spoiler alert, but there was suspected foul play because like the boyfriend that she was dating at the time mm-hmm. had like a ton of debts to these drug dealers. And the prevailing thought was that he like drugged her and sold her into sex trafficking.
Oh God. Did they ever like find him? And
that, I don't know. I would need to like reinvestigate a little bit, but the Curse of Downers Grove is like a real lore. It's a real lore.
Well, I'm glad you didn't die your senior year.
Me too.
Okay. So two people.
Is it the guy? The fart guy? No? Okay. All right. Let me look at my notes here. All right. Where did my notes even fucking go, dude?
Deleted all of them.
I'm like such a mess right now. I can't even think straight. So it is for sure.
Mm-hmm. I love it when you say 100%
one of the parents of that kid who Alex steals the case. No? Okay. It is for sure 100% the lawyer in that scene with Bailey. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of. I can't think of anyone else in this episode.
The one girl that Christina interviews. Who's like, oh, isn't that annoying? And Christina's like, yeah, that is annoying.
Okay.
Okay. So her name is Kelly McCreary. She was the girl that Christina interviewed. She's in two episodes of Scandal. She was like someone that used to work with Harrison.
Who?
Do you remember Harrison? He dies.
Oh, in Scandal.
Ooh, spoilers. Yeah, so she's in two episodes.
Okay.
And then Michael Caravan played the lawyer, and he was in one episode of Scandal. A different episode.
Okay.
There you have it. It's also, Michael Canavan, not Caravan. So yeah, that's Shondaland for this week, guys. With a little extra trivia.
Mm-hmm. An additional piece of trivia is the newest trailer for I Play Rocky is out, and it's a movie about Sylvester Stallone getting to play Rocky and how he did all that and became an actor.
Is he involved in that movie?
I don't know, actually. It's a good question. Jess texted me out of the blue today and was like, hey, do you want to go see a movie on November 6th for your birthday? And I was like, I mean, fine, but like, what is it? Cat in the Hat? And she's like,
why would it be that?
Because it actually comes out on November 6th.
Wait, they're making another Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. And I think why? Bill Hader is the Cat in the Hat.
Why
it's
are
animated.
You doing that?
I don't know.
You guys, why are we doing this?
Martin Short
why, you guys?
Is literally a Cat in the Hat on TV right now. He's the animated Cat in the Hat.
I just,
right? Martin Short? Steve Martin and Martin Short? Yeah. Martin Short. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Anyways, so was it that movie?
It's called I Play Rocky.
Interesting. Yeah. Yes. Sylvester Stallone sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer that he's like MAGA now. But yeah.
Anyways, okay, so let's talk about Christina doing these interviews and your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah. What a dumb storyline.
So interviewing her boss's replacement.
The reveal of the intent is what is a dumb part of the storyline.
Well, like, obviously, it's not just going to be like a normal, like, it's not a normal thing. Like, it's weird to have her do this.
Yeah.
HR? Anybody?
HR! Yeah, do they not have a recruiting department? It feels like they'd have a recruiting department.
Yeah. Like, obviously, we get funny bits of, like, when they walk by and they see the first guy. And Meredith goes, ew. And Christina goes, I hate his face. I'm like, girls. Same. And then, you know, there's the guy who won't stop humble bragging. He was annoying.
Yeah, when he was like, I don't know why they came
it's
to me
so
and not
embarrassing
the boss.
When Ugh. Everyone wants my opinion instead of my boss's opinion.
I don't know what to do, so I just help them out of the kindness of my fart.
And then the guy that's like, you know, will I ever win a Harper Avery if I work here? And she's like, no, but that's specific to you as a person being shitty, not this hospital. Which I did love that moment for her.
Yeah, that was intense. And then she's like, ah, don't even waste your time. Bye. Fuck off. Yeah. It's fine.
So
that was pretty cold-blooded, though. I gotta tell you, that when she's like, you people like you, specifically you, will not win a Harper Avery because you are Harper Avery because you don't care about the patient. You care
you're
about winning
trying
a Harper Avery.
To win the Harper Avery. You're not trying to like make someone's life better or improve the phase of medicine. So
good for her.
Yeah, I liked that moment. Yeah, when Owen is like, oh, the Harper Avery Foundation like wants to make up for everything, so like we'll just get them to give a bunch of money to you, and she's like, please don't do this to me right now or ever. And he's like, I know you have to go.
Honestly though, like, I guess does she if she wants to do the research and the funding, and the Harper Avery Foundation gives her the money to do the research and the funding, it feels like the goal is accomplished. I don't know. I guess, I mean, like, offering her the job of the head of the department is dumb because she's not qualified for it from what we've seen, and to run a department and the fiscal piece that comes with it. We haven't, like, seen her flex those muscles, and I think they've implied it in the past to run a department to be able to, like, make cuts and budgets, blah, and she just doesn't care about that. But if she cares about the research and Owen's getting the research and that means she doesn't have to stay, I just don't know why she had such a visceral reaction to that. I guess I was having a hard time reading that scene.
I think she just wants to go to like not be there anymore. She's already left before and then come back.
That's a good point. I did forget
I think
about
ultimately
that.
Just from like a growth perspective, she's like, I gotta, you know, just be somewhere else. And
where
clearly her and Owen are not going to stop fucking unless they physically are not there next to each other.
So. Yeah, it's just. I hate this storyline.
You guys, sometimes when I'm scrolling on Instagram or TikTok and I'm like on the Grays account and I'm getting fed Grays content and I'm like interacting with other people's videos and content, and people will just come up, I'll find comments of people saying like, I just don't know why everyone hates Owen so much. And I just think, surely you have not watched the same show I have watched.
Yeah, that's where you have to say, check out this podcast. We go pretty in depth.
I just like, I kind of understand not hating Derek if you've only watched it like once when you're a teenager and you're like, oh my God, he's just so attractive. Because you're right. The fact that Patrick Dempsey is so attractive, I think, does a lot for Derek's character. If Derek is just like a regular looking dude, people would not love him that much. Patrick Dempsey excuses a lot of Derek's actions by looking the way he looks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, even if Owen was as attractive as Derek,
which he's not.
He's not. I don't think he's unattractive, but I just think objectively there is a level and he is not more attractive than Derek. I don't think it would excuse. I don't think people would forgive it. I just like, oh, it sucks. Okay. I don't know what else to say. You just suck.
Do you think that if Christina wasn't your favorite character, you would feel Owen sucks this much?
Yeah, because I don't really care that much for Meredith and I hate Derek aggressively.
Okay. Okay. I
he died.
Sorry. I just had to ask.
That's a fair question, honestly.
Because for me, I definitely did not like Mark when I started to really like Lexi, and when Alex is being dumb and I started to like Joe, although I did really start to like Joe and Alex together.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that either one of them are my favorite characters individually, but I don't know.
Not a good Alex episode. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Christina and Owen, it's just like, make it stop, you know?
Yeah, when he, like, no good comes from, when she, he's, what is she, what does he say? No good comes from me asking you to stay. Yeah, we know, dude. We know, okay? And then he just goes in for the kiss. It's just insane. I just hate it. And the don't leave me till you're leaving me, gosh, like, can anyone... I want to say have some self-respect, but she kisses him back. She clearly also wants it. But can you two just, can you stop. Just make like a rope and not? Literally. I don't understand.
Yeah, I just like, I don't. The thing with Owen and Christina is like they write them like they can't stay away from each other, which I've seen in shows before. But my issue is I do think those actors have chemistry, but I don't think they have that level of quote unquote, like undeniable chemistry. And that to me is where it kind of, I'm like, you have to have, there just has to be like that something that's like anytime they're on the screen, you're like, oh my God, we can just all feel it. And they just don't have that. Like they, again, they do have chemistry, but like they don't have that level of chemistry where you're like, we must be together, even though it makes no logical sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I also, like, I think about, I mean, I don't know, I can't. Scrubs is a show where they have JD and Elliot going back and forth for the entire show. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, they're divorced in the reboot. So, like, there's...
Oh, interesting and probably realistic.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's just interesting because they also have good chemistry and they have this like they're always in different relationships or single at different times, and I feel like that's kind of like a fun draw to their relationship. And they get into a relationship and they break up and there's like this, oh, maybe it's not meant to be, who knows? But it's not like a Ross and Rachel where I'm like, just stop and I don't want you together. This is so dumb. But yeah, I don't really feel, I don't feel the pull, the give and take. I don't feel like I yearn for them to be together. And I don't know what the writers were thinking. I don't know why they really wanted them to be like this. I don't know if in retrospect, the pull between Burke and Christina was such a great storyline that they're like, let's just do this again. But then they made Burke's person is terrible, but they made Owen such a shitty character because of the abortion thing.
Yeah,
that like and I mean and other reasons that it's just like there is no desire for them to be together. I'm not rooting for them in any capacity.
He's not redeemable. He just like, yeah, they don't belong together just on the sole fact of like they want wildly different things. But then he does all of these things that are irredeemable to her. And it's just exhausting. And it's just like, please stop.
If they wanted the exact... I think you just hit the nail on the head. If they wanted the exact same things, the will they won't they thing, I think is more tolerable.
Yeah.
They just don't exist in a vacuum where compromises can actually happen.
Yeah. It's just like truly not feasible for them to be in a functional, healthy relationship because at the core of like who they are, they don't want the same thing. And it's just never not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I mean, like, so I could write a thesis paper on Gilmore Girls. I could write like 16 encyclopedia novels on Gilmore Girls. I do think the actors who play Luke and Lorelai from like the very first episode, the chemistry, you're like, okay, they simply have to get together. Spoiler alert for a show that's over 20 years old. They do. But it takes a long time they also break up, but they're still together in the reboot, which also is 10 years old, so not a spoiler.
Which is better than the original?
I will fight you. But anyways, I just think, like, if you are going to do this back and forth for so many seasons, there has to, like, be some reward to it. And there's not. Like, when they finally, when they aren't together for a long time and then they kiss, no one's like, wahoo! Or if they are, like, there's, like, maybe three people total in the world who do that. I don't know. Like, they're just not, it's not the vibe.
Here's an official prediction. Owen goes with her to Zurich. And then we can finally stop thinking about both of them.
Why do we don't want to stop thinking about Christina?
Actually, I mean, like, I hope that doesn't happen, because that would be the equivalent. That would be the Grey's equivalent of Rachel not going to Paris.
Yeah.
It just feels like a big settle. But in my note, I was like, is he going with her? Like, I don't know what's happening. Is it going to be so much intense love that this is how he leaves the show? And if that's the case, thank God. Make Weber in charge again.
Yeah. Oh, he just wants to retire.
Yeah. Since day one. All right, Jackson and April. Wait, is there anything else you have for Christina? The reveal where Meredith, that they're sitting at the table, by the way, where Meredith and Christina are like, she's like, yeah, you're so unqualified. And Christina's like, wow, yeah, that's crazy. And then she's like, oh, wait, no, I get it. Yeah, he wants to offer you the apartment. And Christina's like, well, am I getting a job offer or am I unqualified? I pick a lane. I don't know what you're trying to say here.
She's like, who's trying to trick me into staying? You or Owen? And she's like, no. Listen, it's genius.
That's funny. It is funny. It's a good scene.
Also, did you say on air, or was it before we started recording, that you didn't think Christina would even be in this episode?
Yeah, I said Christina wouldn't even be in this episode.
So, yeah. Good stuff.
I thought last episode, Meredith saying you're leaving, was all we were going to get.
Interesting.
I wasn't sure, but Grey's has done that to us before.
With whomst?
Olivia. With Burke.
Oh my God.
With Han.
Putting Olivia and Christina at the same level is crazy work.
It's the big four. Olivia, Burke, Han, Christina. Everyone's four favorite characters.
Oh my God. I hate you so much.
It's the Mount Rushmore of Grey's Anatomy.
The Mount Rushmore of Grey's Anatomy. To clarify.
Olivia, Han,
Burke,
and Christina.
Han and Christina.
They're all equal in their own rights. Artists of their craft and swans of their generation.
If actually you could put a Mount Rushmore for Grey's, who would it be?
You, me, Meredith, and Olivia.
I hate you so much.
But I would be, I'd be George Washington.
Oh, God. I would do Meredith, unfortunately, even though she's not my favorite. Meredith, Christina, Bailey.
Mm.
Who would my fourth?
Weber?
Go back and forth. I'm like, I do love him.
April? Sophia?
I mean, like, honestly, instinctually, what I want to say is Addison, but, like, that makes no sense. But I love her.
Actually, here's the Mount Rushmore. It's Mark, Lexi, Addison, and Olivia.
Do a Mount Rushmore of just, like, the saddest deaths.
Dylan. Denny. Gary Clark. And Reese.
You're so bad at this game. Her name was Reed, by the way.
Oh. Well, there's a reason Gary killed her.
Oh, my God.
She didn't test well. Denny? She didn't test well in the markets.
Denny, Lexi, Mark,
George.
I feel it would be dishonest for me to say that George is one of my saddest deaths, because I am canonically Team Bus.
What about Susan?
Oh, that was a bummer.
Hold on. No, no, no. Here we go. Saddest deaths.
Mm-hmm. Not the dog.
Not in order. Oh, what dog? A dog died?
Meredith and Derek had a dog.
Oh, yeah. Not in any order.
Okay.
Mark. This is the Mount Rushmore, so I'm only picking four.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, Lexi, the girl who didn't go to Mexico, and the deer.
Why do you have to ruin everything? You were like on a roll there for a
Mark,
minute.
Mark, Lexi, the girl who didn't get to Mexico, and probably Well, Denny's sad, but honestly, the girl who was it Big Don?
Big Jim.
Big Jim's daughter.
Big Don. So Italian. I fucking hate you. Big Don.
Big Mikey and his daughter, his first daughter. She's getting married.
Dare you ask me a favor on this, the day my daughter's dying on Grey's Anatomy?
You come to me on the day of my daughter's death. And ask me to help get your daughter across the border to Mexico.
To Mexico.
Why are we the worst? And by we, I mostly mean you.
I know you do, but you are wrong.
Oh, gosh. I think ultimately, though, for real, like, honestly, the saddest scene in this entire show, hands down, is the girl Mexico. It's the girl.
The little girl, the dad holding her. Yeah, I don't like that. It makes me feel sad.
My stomach is floating in a bad way because of this conversation.
Yeah.
So, Brayden lives.
Yes, which you did predict.
Because
you did
I'm
also
amazing.
Say, though, that Bailey was just not going to tell them and they were just going to leave and never know. But she was like, I can't discharge them until I tell them that I did this. And then she goes, I got to tell the board first, which she translates into, let me just tell Christina. Whomst just gives her a crispy high five.
Well, Christina and then also didn't give about a shit. It. She didn't give a shit until she was like, and I didn't tell them. And she's like, whoa.
Yeah, against their wishes. And then, so yeah, Christina just gives her a high five and promptly forgets about the conversation because Owen asks her about it later. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. This was earlier the same day. No recollection.
Yeah, that was very funny.
So then they go to tell the parents. Now, we don't actually see how they react. It just cuts to Miranda and Stephanie in with Owen going, they didn't react how I hoped they would react. Because she says, I had hoped they would have seen the bigger picture, like your son's alive, which there's nuance to this one. Because I ultimately, obviously, Miranda was right because she saved that kid's life. He was going to die. Like, he just was going to die. However, she did perform a medical procedure against their consent for their child, which is also illegal. Obviously, like, as viewers, right, we're like meant to be on Miranda's side. I just want to say that before we go on, because like, yes, I know it was wrong. Like, from a legal and standpoint, it's wrong. But like, obviously, we're meant to be on her side, and I am on her side. And I also was wondering a lot of this, what this story would look like if this person was an adult electing against treatment. I think she wouldn't have done it. And I also think it would have had less weight to it in that aspect because the person is deciding for themselves. I think when you add in the fact that she's like, this is a child, and they're like, well, the parents make the child's like medical decisions. But Miranda's like, but I know this child will die if I don't do this. But he's not even the one deciding, his parents are. I just think like it adds another layer of like, the gray area-ness and like the motivation for her to me in my like viewing.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of feelings that I have. Number one, I would see ultimately the way that they would want that to, like, my kid is alive. That is the most important thing. Right. I think I'd be pissed. I don't think that I'd be so pissed that I'd be going for the person's license. I think what I would be doing is saying, I'm going to sue you, but it's just for money.
Yeah. I'm like, how about this is a settlement and $5 million
and we never talk about it again.
This likely insane hospital bill. Yeah. And you give me like $2 million and we just, we part ways.
And it's going into my child's college fund.
Yeah.
Like, we'll call it even. I think that's where I would be at because, I mean, they were suing assault and battery. Yeah. Because what really medical, I sue her for saving my child's life, that bitch.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's like, it's truly just like going against our wishes. It is technically like assault and battery. Like that's
yeah,
just,
I mean, that
at
makes,
the end
that
of the day,
sense.
That's what it is.
That makes sense. The plot twist at the end, so when they're, I don't remember what the conversation was, but when Owen says, yeah, I mean, they're discharging Brayden, and she's like, I wish I was there for that. I'm so happy that they got to see it, and
yeah.
Her and Steph kind of peek around the corner. And
that moment was, I thought, done really well.
Yeah.
Get some goose pimples on that one. And also, this is how Steph finds out that April is pregnant. Because the parents are like, do you have children? And Jackson's like, well, my wife is expecting. And Stephanie's standing right there. And she's
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Neat. What a neat thing.
It is. They do bring up a good point, though, at one moment. I think in that scene where they're like, we can't trust any labs
yeah.
that she's run. Because she's probably just saying it worked. And our son's going to leave and die.
Yeah.
And Jackson says, okay, all right, well, I'll do the labs again personally myself as the owner of the foundation of this hospital.
Yeah. Which I do think makes sense, A, to reassure the parents, but also to, like, reassure the other doctors.
Yeah.
And just from, like, a legal standpoint, be like, well, we're going to, like, 1,600 time check these.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like, this is not... I'm like, also, because of the way that Miranda did it, right, where it was like sneaky secret, I'm like, and this is kind of to Steph's point of like, oh, if you went down, like if this went down the way with them like suing you, no one else would ever benefit from this. My biggest issue with this, and I do think it's real to the situation, but my biggest issue is like, this feels like a huge deal and like no one's celebrating the fact that she's made this what seems to me like a huge medical breakthrough.
Yeah, she's cured SCID.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, that
what
was really
a
dumb.
Terrible person.
Why did you do that? And I'm like, listen, again, I understand the issue that we're talking about. I just feel like we should also address the medicine.
I agree.
But also, let's kind of revisit, and I think we had a Discord question kind of like this. Miranda's reaction to what Meredith did with the clinical trial and say, does it feel fair for her to have that reaction to Meredith and then do something like this?
No.
Good answer.
And I'll elaborate more after we talk about the unfairness of capitalism. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And we are back.
Here, we gotta lock in. We have so much more to talk about.
We really don't. This is it.
What are you talking about? We haven't talked about Alex in Arizona.
Who?
And
who?
Shane.
Who?
We haven't talked about Joe being insane. We haven't talked about Callie in Arizona.
Okay, yeah, let's lock in. All right. I agree. It is a little bit hypocritical, but also that was so 5 seasons ago or something. Who even knows anymore? Also, the difference in this that I will say I think is worth noting is the clinical trial was already set up. This is the first time that this has ever been done, and it's not even in clinical phases. It's like a proof of concept.
Right, and I don't
best.
Understand why sometimes we have to do clinical trials, and sometimes we just get to say, ooh, what if I change a disease?
Yeah.
Seems realistic.
So
now obviously at the end of the day, Stephanie lies and she's like, Dr. Bailey was covering for me, but like I didn't tell her you withdrew consent, so she didn't know that she was doing it against your wishes.
I made a whoopsie and I forgot. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you want us to just be okay with it because he's fine. Like, what if he wasn't fine? And that's when the mom steps in and she's like, dude, our son is alive and like we haven't been able to hold him in like months and now he's here right in front of us. And like, I just want us to leave. Like, can we please just let this go? And they're like, yeah, we won't sue you if you put her on probation for a week.
Suspension, I think.
Whatever. Again, minimal.
I think what would have been a cool scene is if when they were sitting there talking about it and they were in the same room and Oona said, and you are suspended for 1 week. And that's what they agreed to. Oh, and by the way, to add to this punishment, I refuse to not let you be paid. So you will be on paid suspension. And then like smile and wink at the end because he knows that she saved Bailey. Because he's ultimately not an idiot. I think that
everyone knows and they're like fine. They're like ultimately this has become less of a headache, basically. Yeah.
And that hug was so nice.
Yeah, there's Stephanie and Miranda have a moment of like, you know, basically Stephanie saying, if you lost your license, no one else would ever be able to benefit from this treatment. I might be getting fired anyways. Like, I'm doing exactly what you would have done. And, like, just basically risking everything for this. And then Miranda hugs her and she's like, you're not going anywhere without a fight from me, which is sweet.
And we haven't seen any evidence that Steph is a bad surgeon. So,
no.
There's also, just really quick, we're going to rapid fire this. There's a scene where Bailey and Ben are talking. And, like, obviously he's finding out all of this, like, real time. He's like, this is my wife. I want to be here for her. But she and they're like, it's fine. And he's like, was it absolutely necessary? And she's like, yeah, I saved a life. I created a cure out of thin air. And there's a really cool cover of Tainted Love playing in the background.
Yep. So.
The metaphor that she says, though, by the way, sorry, last thought on this, and you can tackle the next rapid fire, is she goes, I took something that kills to heals. Mm-hmm. And that's that was so powerful. That was really cool.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I think they wrapped that story up well. I do think there are points in that storyline, just like with that patient, where I'm like, oh, this is really existing for a lot longer than most of our patient storylines do.
Yeah.
But I do think it wraps up nicely and it all pays off. And then, yeah, Bad Alex episode. He's being a turd. He shows up to the hospital, bullies Shane into helping him steal a patient from Arizona.
So he doesn't just bully Shane. He goes full villain mode.
Right. Well, first he just bullies Shane. And then when Shane's like, I'm going to tell Dr. Robbins, he's like, well, if you do that, then I'm going to make up this lie that you fucked up with a patient. He's like, well, I didn't do that. And she's like, he goes, yeah, but I've worked with her for years and you went crazy and killed my dad. So really, who's she going to believe?
Like, crazy, it's nothing. Work. Crazy work. And he gives like this smirk and walks away like, okay, Shane, you may have killed Heather, but you don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't kill Heather. Also, no, you may have
accidentally been involved in Heather dying.
You may have
accidentally kill Alex's dad.
Yeah.
Because you were like refusing to sleep.
What's that? And like, refusing to sleep.
Couldn't be me. Could be my kids though.
Mm.
There's just like a lot of back and forth with it. And Alex is like, oh, like I'm not bringing in enough money. I don't want to lose this job. And Arizona's like, why don't you just like call me and tell me you need help? But my issue with this storyline is I'm like, if this kid has to be like backed up waiting for the surgery, like, isn't it a win for Alex to just come in and do the surgery so he can go home?
Yeah.
Like, he should have asked, but like, or just con him, be like, hey, I actually am like free, so why don't I just do this surgery for you? And Arizona should have been like, yeah, that's totally fine. I'm super swamped. That's why I'm not doing it right now.
It really doesn't make sense.
That piece was very unclear to me. I was like, don't we just want to let this like kid... Also, the way Alex talked to Shane when he was like, let me explain what short gut syndrome is. I was like, leave? Okay, Alex. I love you normally, but like, you gotta lay off, dude.
I also don't understand this. Dr. Butthole's practice, he said, if you're not bringing in the money or you're not bringing in the cases, blah, blah, blah. Do they not have a team? Do they not have a receptionist? Do they not have marketing? What is their TikTok profile like? I don't know.
I don't really understand how private practice works in this show or in life.
What is their Google review rating? Is it 5 stars?
Do you have to request Alex specifically?
Yeah, I don't know. None of that part makes
sense.
No
one's just referring patients. Like they
should have a pipeline.
We met this man because of a referral.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? What's going on? What are we doing?
What are we doing? What's going on?
The rules. That's the goal now.
That's the goal now.
God, so good. Okay. So yeah, Alex is just sort of like a raging turd in most of this episode. And Joe is also being really weird because she's so afraid that she's going to get fired that she's like forgotten how to function like a regular human being. So she's being super weird with April. She's being like not aggressive enough to be helpful with Callie. Callie's in a really bad place because she finds out that she can't get pregnant again, which, by the way, that is a word I use all the time. And I'm like, did I get that from Grey's?
I use the word grumpus or grumps. Like, who's grumps? Who's grumpus?
Grumposaurus Rex. So, yeah, Callie finds out that she's not going to be able to get pregnant again because of scarring from the car accident. And
which
so she's
I
really upset. And April obviously is pregnant, but is hiding it. The scene where Joe is like losing her mind and like he screams at April to put on a vest. And then like goes, Callie figures it out and tells April to like just leave and Joe take over for her. And Joe is like, and Callie's just like, you are so fucking weird today.
I mean, she is.
She's being like manic.
Well, she's got the stress hives. She needs to take a Benadryl or something.
She needs rest.
Mm.
They need work-life balance, which is not something that they're afforded in this job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's see. Oh, and then when Callie goes to April and she's like, how far along are you? And then she starts to cry and she tells her, you know, they found out that she's not going to be able to get pregnant again. And then Joe comes up behind them and she's like, I want to apologize. I like, this is what's going on. I could, you know, I could be getting fired. And they're like, yeah, you could be.
And they both just
like,
walk
that's
away.
Savage.
Also, can we call out that what was the ultrasound? It was less than 10 weeks, 9 weeks, 8 weeks, something. Or maybe it was 10 weeks.
It was
the ultrasound that April showed to Callie. No fucking way. I just did a 10-week ultrasound. It does not look like a fully formed fucking potato baby. That might not even be a baby. I don't know what that is, but it is not a 10-week fetus baby.
Yeah, I had this
placenta.
I was like, it's been a minute since I've had a 10-week ultrasound, but I think they're still pretty blobby at
that
point.
That ain't it. They still have like the little halo from the yolk in there, I think.
Yeah.
That pissed me off. Gotta tell ya.
And then what else was there? With them, I think that was it. Oh, the Callie and Arizona have the conversation at the end where Callie's like, I can't do this. And Arizona's like, I could try again. And Callie's like, no, we like just got good.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
We're just still too fragile. Yeah. I just don't think it's a good idea, which ultimately I think is probably correct.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, we're so lucky. We have this beautiful life. We have a beautiful daughter. And like, that can be enough. And like, that just might have to
enough.
Be exactly the reality. I thought that was a really well done scene.
Yeah, and I will also say, like, I wanted to add this context to Jess and I when we were going through the baby journey for number two. We kind of had this thought in our head, like, so many people try mm-hmm. for one and don't get one. If we try for a second and all we have is just this incredible, perfect angel named Marlo. That's enough.
Yeah.
Like, there was, I think so, there was always, like, through IVF and, like, even still, and we still have to be careful because, like, at any point, something bad could happen. And we're not living our life in fear, but there's this, I think, I don't want to say healthy, but it's a healthy little bit of realism that anything could happen at any time. And we still do have one embryo, so there is that as well. But we just, you know, I think that the way that they're looking at this is really cool, the way they wrote this scene. And it's mm-hmm. not taking anything for granted. It's really grounded. And I like that scene a lot.
I thought, yeah, they did it well. And like, they make this decision, and I think it does seem like they're at peace with it, but they're also sad, because I think when you find those decisions, you still get that moment to grieve, to be like, this isn't what I necessarily wanted or expected, but like, I do love my life, but that doesn't mean I can't like grieve for this thing that I thought I would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I agree. I thought that scene was quite well done. And I like that they're just being honest about it. They're like, we've been through a lot. We're in a fragile place. Like, I don't want to risk our relationship for this, you know, potential thing that could not potentially like not even happen. And then it not happening is also very damaging, both like traumatic to the person carrying the baby and then also to the relationship as a whole. And so it's just like, it's just very layered, very nuanced, very just a lot to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that might be it.
Hold on, let me look at my notes here. Crazy work when Shane is having that moment that's like kind of cute, and he's like talking to the baby after Alex shits on him, and he's like, you know, you and I are kind of a lot alike, little Jacob baby, except my organs are on the inside. And then the organs just explode out of that little body.
Baby's guts just burst open.
Just absolutely crazy. But then it ends up seeming to be fine. I do like that moment where Alex does apologize to Arizona. That's a callback. I want to go back to that storyline for a second. But she does. She's like, yeah, you fucking call me, dude. I help you out. That's what the relationship is. And then she mm-hmm. smacks him up the head. And I'm like, okay, this is a good grounding scene. We talked about Amelia/Amy. We talked about Callie, Arizona, April. Yeah, when April's like, I can't get in the x-ray room. I can't put on the lead vest. I can't do it. Pretty intense. Oh, that scene at the end where Jackson and her are talking and he's like, yeah, you know, like, I think we can start telling people. And she's like, okay, well, who the hell did you tell? And that's when he said, my ex. When she said, I forgive you, I wish he would have said, who did you tell?
Yeah, same. That would have been like, nice. Surely he's going to figure out that she also told someone, and that's why she's not mad.
Yeah, so missed opportunity there. But that's why we should be writers for this show.
So true. Should ghost write Grays.
We should.
If we ever catch up.
We will. We will. let's see, what other notes?
Do you have any other notes? Last minute thingies on there?
Trying to think. Do. Still think it's very funny when Shane's like, it was one time. Why does everyone keep bringing up the mental breakdown? Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, they're clearly Bailey. They were pissed. I don't like that scene where she's like, do you have kids? As if he can't understand the situation that they're in without
having
kids.
That is something that happens in so many shows.
Yeah.
Like, it does happen a lot in medical dramas, but it happens in like crime scene drama shows, court drama, literally any show that's a drama. Someone at some point is like, do you have kids? Then you can't possibly understand anything ever if you don't. And I think that is frustrating. Just like, it's just kind of, there are times when it feels like an easy out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you have to, like, people exist and like can care about things and like have empathy, even if they don't have kids. And that's fine. But yeah, that happens a lot.
Sorry, I don't know if you can hear my dog is barking at Steve and Kristen coming in the house right now. Where was the one, the last? Oh, yeah. It's just in general, I will tell you, I think that having kids has changed me in a huge way.
Yeah.
But to imply that no one can ever understand the concept of empathy or to judge a situation.
Or like consequences.
Yeah.
Like they still know that she's technically done something wrong, even though they don't all have kids. Somehow they've put it together.
Exactly. Exactly. So. All right, let's rate it. And then, or do we have any questions? Other questions? Outstanding? All right, let's do this.
Okay. I think that may have been it.
So no questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do you feel about Bailey's attitude going against Brayden's parents' wishes, given to how she's reacted to other characters breaking rules?
Yeah, that scene where Jackson said, "Have you tried apologizing?" And she's like, "Well, that would imply made a mistake."
Doubled down hard. She was like, "I didn't make a mistake. I knew they didn't want me to do it, and I did it anyways. So that's why I shouldn't apologize." And I was like, "That's a wild thing to say in front of this lawyer."
For everyone listening in the studio audience, that is Kelsey energy all fucking over.
Okay, all you do is double down. What are you talking about?
First off, I have never once in my life doubled down. I go straight Carmen, to tripling down.
Carmen,
first off,
has never seen a hill that he's not willing to die on.
But I have seen hills that I haven't died on. It doesn't mean I'm not willing to, but I haven't.
Listen, I definitely do the thing of like, well, I'm not sorry because I did mean to hurt your feelings, so I'm not going to apologize for it. However, I just do think that you should also acknowledge that you double down on like everything you've ever done ever, especially when you get called out on things.
I think that you are making things up, and this is me doing the ironic thing, doubling down on and dying on the hill.
Ironic is the correct wording.
Well, either way, you are correct. You are correct. I do double down and I do die on hills.
Yes. Yes, there's a shirt that Carmen needs that says, "I'm not here to apologize, I'm here to double down."
And it needs to be a picture of the KFC double down.
Did you ever have that?
Hell yeah, I had a fucking double down. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
I've had a plethora of double downs.
A plethora. Jesus Christ.
I'm eating a double down right now.
Do you know that that's not how you pronounce it? See, now I'm never sure because of when you thought that anals was correct.
First off, anals is correct, and I know it's plethora, but I think plethora is better.
Plethora is objectively much funnier.
Also,
I get nervous.
Look it up in your plethoras, okay?
All right, now we're done. Okay, so let's rate the episode.
I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm going to give it a 4.7.
It's
very good.
I think I also was better.
I forgot that so much happened that when I watched it, I was like, wow, so much is happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It's good. A lot does happen. We get some resolution. We get some plot. The Steph plot twist, I think, is a cool plot twist. The organs exploding, I think, is a good scene because it ends okay.
Intestines in the hand.
So, and this is how you know that I've come a long way and I recognize that.
Because you're not giving it a 5.
Because I'm not giving it a 5.
Because the baby exploded.
Yeah. So I'm going to retcon that to a 3.1 or something. So it's a 4. Maybe I think I could maybe be convinced into 4.1 or 4.2 territory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's make some predictions really quickly.
Owen is going to Zurich with Christina.
Okay.
Christina is going to be gone next episode. Season 11 is all going to be about Derek and Meredith's divorce because the cliffhanger for next episode is going to be Derek saying, "I'm leaving," and Meredith is going to say, "Well, I want a divorce," or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Leah seems to be officially gone, so if she's back next episode, I'll be shocked. Amelia is going to be the plot twist, new head of cardio. And Weber Yes, you heard me right. The new head of cardio.
Sorry, the processing delay on that one really took me a second.
Weber is going to take over Owen's role back again as the chief of surgery. And crazy, crazy prediction. Jackson and April will adopt their child to Callie in Arizona.
That is crazy.
And Reed is going to come back, but as another character.
Oh my God, that again.
Married to George, who comes back as himself.
Oh my God, I hate it when I ask you to do something and you do it. Because you're so dumb. But, okay, well, I think that's it. I will be back next week for a season finale. Another season on the books. 10 seasons, you guys. That's crazy. We'll get more into that
Shonda was on.
Yeah, we'll get more into that next week, obviously, with all the deets and everything, and we'll be here, and maybe Carmen will be able to record himself again reacting to
the
season finale. Yeah. So that would be fun. So yeah, just be on the lookout. We love you guys. Make sure you go to our website, graysacademypod.com, because you can find all of our socials and links to everything. And you can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. And we love chatting with you and we love hearing from you. And make sure you join our Patreon so you can get on our Discord and listen to all of our bonus content.
Which, by the way, I actually finally edited those episodes and they are in Kelsey's inbox right now.
Hell yeah. So those will be up also today with this episode. We love you guys so much. Keep sharing, keep telling your friends, telling your families, telling your grandmas. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you, Saul. We appreciate you. Fuck. Better call Saul. We appreciate, was it Saul? Was it Paul? Better call Paul. Saul. Okay.
Better call Saul.
We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one, but no spoilies. But yeah, we appreciate you. Bye. We love you. I'm having a stroke.